the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast." I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in Him a resting place, and He has made me glad. Number 26 in the appendix. Some brother started for us. In prayer. Turn with me for at least a part of a verse in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Now turn over to John's Gospel, chapter 11. John's Gospel, chapter 11, and verse 35. Jesus wept. We've enjoyed these several days, the Spirit of God bringing before us in different ways the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, verily God and verily man. The only man that has ever walked this earth that God could look down and find his full pleasure in, could say, this is what man is intended to be before me, and find his pleasure in that blessed man in every aspect of his life here on earth. And it's an inexhaustible treasure to God, to us, to be occupied with himself. And we're just going to take up one more aspect, perhaps, of our Lord Jesus this afternoon that we haven't considered particularly in our time together. One example, can I say, of his humanity that's expressed to us in the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. If I think very much about it, I'll start to cry, which is good. And if I do, I find it's difficult to speak because I can't seem to do both. But it would thrill my soul if the Lord were to touch your heart this afternoon in the same way, that you too would be brought to tears as you think of your blessed Lord and the way he presents himself to the heart and touches it. We need doctrine. It's absolutely essential. If we don't have right doctrine, we'll never have a right walk. I don't think we can value it too much. But I think we also have to recognize that doctrine in and of itself is not enough. It's not in and of itself the truth as it is in Jesus. The truth as it is in the Lord Jesus does not separate the doctrine from the whole person. We're complex individuals in the way God has made us. We're not only mind, but we're also heart and conscience and many other things as well. And the truth of God has to take hold of the whole person if it is as God intends it to be in us. The last year, for myself, and I'm sure for many here, it's been one of the most difficult of my life. Some things have become more precious to my soul than they were before. Perhaps being in the presence of the Lord Jesus is one of them. But perhaps too the feeling of shame to his name. But I think it's a wonderful thing to seek to enter in our souls to our Lord Jesus as a man who entered in not only to the minds but to the feelings of his people. Nothing cold there, nothing that repelled in him. I love when I think of Peter. He gets down after he realizes in his soul he hasn't been what he should be for the Lord. And he gets right down on his knees in the presence of the Lord and he says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." He was attracted to the Lord Jesus, even though he in himself felt a discomfort because of a sense of his own failing. Here in this chapter, we find our Lord Jesus brought before us in tremendous tenderness. A person that entered in and weeps. That's what was needed that day, especially for Mary. We see a different reaction in Martha. People are different. And we're all different. Maybe the remarks this afternoon will be more to the heart of the sisters than to the brothers, but not to the heart of the Lord Jesus. He spans all. He understands all. He enters into all. That touches the heart of his people. Like to notice a little bit of this story, but before we do, we're going to come back to it. Perhaps we'll end here. But the subject this afternoon has to do with tears. I'd like to look at several other places in the Word of God where we have that thought brought before us, and then we'll come back here and see the perfect example of it in our Lord Jesus. Turn with me to Psalms 126. Psalm 126 and verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I'm indebted to my brother Lundeen for the thoughts here, but they're precious to me now, and I want to share them. We're not too used to this because we live in a different age. But at the time these Psalms were written, the saints of God, the people of the land, took their seed from their crops and they divided it into two parts. One part was reserved for their food, and the other part was the seed that they were going to sow for the next crop. And so this cycle repeated itself. They apparently, at least in the land of Israel particularly, they sowed the seed in the fall and they got their crops in the spring. But what did they do if the crop failed before it came to maturity? They had to take the seed that was intended for their food and take from it and sow it. Brethren, there are times in our lives when it may seem that the crop fails. The seed's precious. It's valuable. It's most important. But all of us are seed sowers in our lives. And sometimes